Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning as we gather together, that you would speak to us. Hallelujah. Cause our ears to hear, make our eyes to see, and our hearts to understand. Lord, let the entrance of your word this morning bring light and give us understanding. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Amen and amen. Well, today, continuing in the series of foiling the devil's attacks and all the fiery darts that he would throw at us and various things, I'm going to be dealing with failures and losses. That's right. That's why I'm so excited, because, I mean, not because of failure and losses, but because of the encouragement that God gives us around that, you know. So, you know, sometimes we suffer failures. Sometimes we suffer losses. Sometimes we suffer setbacks and so on. But let's see what the scripture has to say, and what's the encouragement that the scripture has, and all the blessing, all the blessedness that are in the scriptures concerning this kind of subject, you know. And, you know, right away, I want to tell you that I don't know if I can get through all of it, because there's so many scriptures that deal with this subject, but we'll see. If we don't cover it all today, we'll cover some tomorrow. But I guarantee you that this is something that you want to hear. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see. You know, I mean, what is failure? I mean, how do, you know, people look at failure? I mean, you know, it all depends on, you know, your perspective. You know, some people, you know, a failure, well, generally speaking, is a lack of success. Success, on the other hand, is achieving, you know, some goal or something, you know, that, you know, that we can, we achieve, you know. So failure may be defeat, maybe frustration, maybe a collapsing, lack of success, non-fulfillment. I mean, backwardness. I mean, just a lot of things, you know, that failure, you know, may be. You know, we are not attaining to where we thought we were attaining. We tried something, it didn't work. You know, even students, talk of failure in terms of, you know, you may be doing a class, you did the exam, you didn't make it. You know, I mean, there's just so many things, you know, and failure has just, you know, I mean, permeated every part of our lives and society today. Even medicine, medical science, they now use the word failure. Many things, kidney failure, heart failure, this failure, that failure. I mean, so we're just surrounded by the failure, you know, in so many ways. Right? It could also be, I mean, some people, even in business, it could be you failed, you know. I mean, sometimes businesses fail so badly that it leads to bankruptcy. I mean, there's a failure could be also a deficiency. It could be, you know, I mean, it's just so many things. I mean, even in mechanical engineering, parts can fail. You know, you can say, well, you know, there's a defect, it can be a failure. You know, automobile accidents can be caused by failure of the brakes or failure of this system and that. And they're just everywhere you look and turn, there's just failure. It's staring us in the face, because it's become, you know, a household word almost always, you know, all around us. Well, we need to change all of that, which at least some of it, you know, we got to have a different perspective about that, you know. So, you know, is this experiment I conducted one time, you know, just to see whether, you know, people have an optimistic view of life or pessimistic. You know, you put up a glass that has water halfway, and I've used this example before. You ask people, what do you see? Well, someone say, may say, I see a half empty glass of water. Yet another person may say, I see a half full glass of water. Well, they're looking at the same thing. Well, one person thinks it's half empty, and the other person thinks it's half full. So think about that. Why would they be looking at the same thing and describing it a different way? I mean, in different ways. Well, you know, the thinking is that the person or persons look at the glass as half empty, they may have a pessimistic view of life. You know, in which case, you know, I mean, they see that half the water as half empty. Could be it's draining, you know, it's on the decline, you know. Well, the one that sees the glass as half full may be a more optimistic person. Yeah, they see, well, you know, hope is rising. Well, what's your view? I mean, what's your view? And what's your take on when you do something and it doesn't work? Which, quote unquote, we call failure. Well, I choose to define, you know, I mean, I actually choose to reject failure and redefine it as, well, it didn't work. I learned something new. You can always turn it into something positive, you know, and then, but I'm going to actually give you scriptures of encouragement. So it's not just, you know, we're not just talking humanistic views, but that works too if you know how to apply it, you know, rather than thinking of the thing that you tried and didn't work as a failure. Well, you can think of it as knowledge acquired, knowledge gained, you know. I mean, we in technology is the same thing. You know, we even encourage, you know, what we, you know, what they're calling in recent times, ideation. People try different things. You encourage them to try and fail. You know, I mean, technology is using those things now. I mean, all of the new stuff that you see in technology, it's all based on try and fail. Actually, some people call it trial and error. You know, you fail, but you say, well, we tried that. That didn't work. So we know that didn't work. You put that one aside. Try something else. You know, but when they're doing experiments and things like that and research and development, we're not giving up just because something didn't work. I mean, we're doing research. I mean, that doesn't work. Now we know that doesn't work. Scratch that one off. You know, try this other one. You know, try this combination. Do it this way. Do it that way. You know, now it'll be wonderful if we could have the same mentality in our lives. You did something, you know, just, you know, didn't work. Instead of counting it as a failure and you get despondent and discouraged, you might, you know, decide to view it as, well, okay, so now I know that doesn't work. Now I've learned something new. You know, so instead of thinking that you failed, you can see it as you have learned something. So that's a positive way of looking at it. You have learned something. And it could be something, it could be even carelessness, if it's something we did that caused a problem, that caused setback and so forth. Or you can glean something out of it by saying, well, okay, I know I got to do it better and so on and so forth. You know, so, I mean, that's just a quick summary or overview of the way we can perceive life in general. So if you come in with a more positive, I mean, more driven approach, you may actually experience fewer failures. I mean, what you categorize as failures. So you may have the L department, which is loss, or the W department, which is win. You know, some people say, well, lose some, win some, or win some, lose some. Well, maybe you can actually win more or win all if you think of the loss as a win because you learned something. You know, so, you know, that's just life in general. And, you know, it's all around you where you look. Sometimes people tend to focus more on the negative. The people, you know, I mean negative. The people that actually, you know, bring us great things in life, they are visionaries. They focus on what they learn out of the things that didn't work, you know, and build on it and improve on it and so forth. You know, they don't sink down into, well, that didn't work, I'm going to quit. Yeah, well, maybe when they first started, they felt like they would quit. And everybody goes through, you know, times of feeling like that. I mean, real failure, let me define it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, this is one punchline right away this morning. Real failure is quitting. That's my own definition. When you quit, then you have failed. If you don't quit, then you haven't failed. You know, that's the way I see it. You know, but when you quit and give up, then you have failed. You know, because now you've stopped believing. I mean, you've stopped trying or whatever. I mean, there's many stories in the Bible. And some of them we've told over and over again, you know, as part of one or other lessons, but they all fit together. The story of the man in John 5, for instance. 38 years of infirmity that was waiting for the moving of the water. We've told it many times, but it fits in here as well. He could have quit. If he had quit because he had tried before and he failed at, you know, acquiring the target. The target was, you know, I got to be the first to get into the water after the moving by the angel. And he failed. Maybe he tried again and he failed. See, real failure would have been if he quit. So rather than us telling that story as though he failed, well, let's redefine that story. Let me tell the story again, a different way. Well, he tried one time and he didn't make it. See, this time around, I didn't use the word fail. He tried again and he didn't make it. See, this time around, I still didn't use the word fail because he came back. So, you know, we can't really say he failed, you know, because he came back. Now, if he had quit and never come back to try again, then I would call that failure because now he has failed. So he can't, I mean, it's over, you know, because he gave up and he quit. You know that no matter what we are going through in life, we got to keep fighting. You can't, I mean, if people who are fighting for their lives, we use that terminology sometimes, you know, when they're in ICU fighting for their lives, we use that terminology, you know, I mean, they can't give up even in their mind, in their spirit. People looking at them from the outside may think that they are, you know, unconscious and they can't hear or know anything. Oh yeah, they know something. You know, and wherever their mind or spirit is at that time, they got to keep fighting. You know, you got to fight through everything. You can't quit and you can't give up. Once you quit and give up, then that's real failure. Okay. That having been said, what about losses? I mean, you know, we do lose things at times. We can't, when you've lost it, you can't say that you haven't lost it. You lost it, you've lost it. You know, so if you lose something, what then do you do? You know, I mean, you can, you know, you have a number of choices. Yesterday I made some remarks during my preaching at church and said, well, you know, life is full of choices. You cannot say, I don't have a choice, or I didn't have a choice. Some people say that sometimes to hide behind that. Of course, you had a choice. Everything you do was a choice. Even if you say, I didn't have a choice, well, that was a choice for you to say that. You know, so you could either give up on the thing you lost, or you could start looking for it. You know, so or working to recover it. So there's ways that we can look at losses even too. I mean, look at the story of David. Of course, I got to find a way to bring David into this story because I love the stories of David. He lost something once or twice under his watch. A lion came and took one of the little lambs or whatever from his flock. You know, and he could have been bemoaning his losses. A bear also did the same. And, you know, he could have been bemoaning his losses. But what did he do? He said, oh, no, you know, you can't take what is mine. I'm not going to sit around and let you get away with that. I'm going to go after you and I'm going to get back what is mine. Now, that is some rugged faith. You know, other person will just cry, you know, and then go away, put their hands on their head and cry, you know. Cry to their partners or to, you know, the person who sent them to watch the sheep. We lost something today. In David's case, it would have been his dad that sent him over there. Go and cry to the dad that they lost something. Yeah, the dad would say, well, that's okay. We still got, you know, a few more. I mean, this stuff happens. You know, lions, what can you really do? What can you do against the bear? You know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, maybe you get, you know, scolding or whatever. Why are you not paying attention? I mean, I don't know. But this man, David, he wasn't going to take any chance. He's going to go after what was taken from him and get it back. You know, so that's one way of dealing with a loss. Another way is just to give up. In fact, Jesus himself, he told stories like this. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman that lost a coin. Now, what did she do? Well, she searched everywhere, swept the whole house, did everything. And then when she found it, she rejoiced and said, hey, I found the coin that was lost. Rejoice with me. Well, likewise, he told the story of the shepherd that lost one of his sheep, just like David, the one I just said. And, you know, he went after the thing, left the 99 that were good, make sure they were secure, and then went after the other one until he found it. And when he found it, put it on his shoulder and came back and said, rejoice with me, I found that which was lost. So that's another way of dealing with losses. Well, Jesus himself, he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus was one champion, that greatest champion of finding something that was lost. Well, what did Adam lose? Everything. And Jesus came to get it all back. He could have, you know, well, you can say, I even heard someone say one time that God failed. Can you imagine? Someone say that. He said, well, I mean, man was his creation and God failed because his creation was not successful. I mean, this and that. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what kind of word that thinking is that God foresaw everything, gave the man a choice. You know, the man is the one that failed. He could have stayed right there with the word of God. You know, so, but, you know, the Lord, he knew he did that and he knew he was going to do it. That's why the lamb was prepared before the world began, slain. But he came to redeem that which the enemy took. And when the devil told him, look, all these things are given to me, you know, and if you fall down and worship me, I'll give them back to you. Jesus said, no way. I got a plan. He has to pay the ransom in order to get everything back. And he did. So that was his approach to what was lost. He was not going to give up on anything. In fact, one time Jesus said, you know, this is a commandment I have received of my Father. That's right. You know, said this commandment I have received of my Father. You know, that of all that he has given me, right, I should lose none of them. And whatever I get from him, you know, I will give them eternal life. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, Jesus, he put it that way. You can read that, you know, story in John chapter 10, I think around verse 18 or so. Jesus said, look, I've received this commandment to lay down my life and to take it again. You know, furthermore, he goes on to say, look, I've received this commandment that all that the Father has given me, I should give to them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and so on and so forth. I mean, you know, so he knew how to go after these things. And he wasn't going to give up. And one time, praying until blood was coming out of his head, he was fighting to get back everything that was lost. He told many parables. Some of them were about himself. He said, well, you know, kingdom of God is like a man that found, you know, great treasure or a pearl of great price. And he's going to do everything he can to get it. You know, on and on and on. So, back to our natural realm, things that we try in life, we try, didn't work. We can chuck it off in the L column as a loss. Well, you know, everything is not necessarily black and white. There may be some middle ground. It's always not, you know, you win or you lose. You know, maybe you didn't quite win, but it may not exactly also be a loss, a total loss. You can glean something for it, from it, you know. So when we have that attitude, things are more likely to work out to our benefit. Well, let's read some scriptures about promises of success. You know, I will intermingle these scriptures with examples of, well, quote unquote failure, and encouragements for success and so forth. Now, what are the things that God will give us instead of failures and losses? Well, successes and celebrations. That's right. You know, people celebrate. Jesus said, well, celebrate when you found what you lost. And there was a story in Luke chapter 15. Some people call it the prodigal son story. You know, the man, he said, well, bring forth the fatted calf and let us celebrate. For this, my son was lost. And now he's found. He's returned home, you know, and he celebrated. So some celebrations can come after some losses, you know, when there is recovery. So loss and recovery leads to celebration. I mean, celebration is not only for pure success. So you start out and you are successful, that's it. Never had a loss. You celebrate. That's good. But you can also celebrate when recovery comes after a loss. I mean, another classic story, again, David. I love his stories. 1 Samuel chapter 30, story of Ziklag. I told it multiple times. He lost everything. They wept bitterly, the first 6 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 30. They lost everything. Wives, children, the city, Ziklag burnt down. And they lost everything. And they cried bitterly until there was no strength to cry. But David, you know, encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Lord said, you will recover all. You will recover all. I mean, once David heard that word, my goodness, you know, he strengthened himself. And he went after, you know, the people that capture their wives and children and everything, and recover all, indeed he did, you know. And, well, what did he do after that? Well, they celebrated. Praise God. They came back. They, you know, he said, look, shall I pursue? The Lord said, pursue. Shall I overtake? Yeah, the Lord said, overtake. You will recover all without fail. So he went out and, you know, came there and he pursued them and he, you know, he got the victory. And when they came back, you know, they celebrated. Praise God. You know, so, you know, celebrations can come like that. as a result of recovery after a loss. You know, people do celebrate. In fact, you know how the children of Israel, traditionally, how they, and even God's people from time immemorial, even before Jacob. Jacob is the generation of Israel. But even before Jacob, people always gave names to their children based on circumstances. Even starting with, you know, Eve. She was the one that started that tradition, you know, of naming a child properly, you know, so based on the circumstances. After they lost Cain, after Cain killed his brother Abel, and then she got Seth, she said, well, you know, I've gotten a man from the Lord, you know, to replace the one that was taken from me. She suffered great losses too. Not only, you know, she lost the son, but the son was killed at the hand of another son. I mean, so it was a great tragedy. And so she named Seth, you know, as some kind of a restoration of joy, you know, and so on. So, you know, celebration can come even after a loss. You know, that's what I'm saying there. But I got to move on here. So let's read some promises of success. And like I said, I'll come back, you know, back and forth with, you know, stories of losses, successes, and so on. See what the Lord will tell us. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. You know, powerful promise that the Lord, you know, gave to Joshua of how he can make great success. You know, you might call it the secret of success. The Lord gave it to him here. So let's read a couple of verses in Joshua chapter 1. We'll just read two verses there. You know, here's what the Lord said to Joshua. And of course, you know the story of Joshua, right? You know, he was the one, you know, that was mentored by Moses to, you know, take the people in. This book of the Lord said to him, Joshua 1 and 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, see, now notice, for then, see, shall thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, the promise of success, an outlook of success in the future, was in this case based upon keeping the word of the Lord, observing to do all that is written therein. I said, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. So right away, we see a great secret there. You want to be successful? Well, take time to check out the word of God. Find what he says and do it. Well, there's a reason behind that too, because inside the word of God is also strategy, you know, and, you know, but basically this instruction is given to Joshua here that in the keeping of the word of God is where you have success. Praise God. So that right away, let's keep that in our minds. You want great success? Well, keep the word of God. Do things the way that the word of God says. Praise the Lord. Well, let's think about that for a minute. And here's something that Job had to say about that. In the book of Job, chapter 22, you know, talks about having great successes and so on and so forth, you know, and what it's all based about. In this case, Job calls it, you know, a restoration of your relationship with God. You know, you fix that up, then other things, he said, will fall into play. And that's the way that Job put it. He said, acquaint now thyself with him, talking about the Lord, and be at peace. Thereby, good shall come unto thee. Job 22 and verse 21. Receive, I pray, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Talking about God's words. If thou return to the Almighty, then thou shalt be built up. That's success. And you'll put away iniquity from thy tabernacles. Then you will lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Well, you know, that's because, you know, you return to the Almighty. That's because you took the law out of his mouth and you put it in his, your heart. You know, that's because you acquainted yourself with him. You drew nigh to the Lord in fellowship. And he said, the Almighty shall be your defense. Ha! Glory to God. Listen to this. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. Now, this is the way you do it, ladies and gentlemen. It's not by throwing, you know, an offering in some basket on a Sunday morning and thinking that that's how you do it. This is how you do it. You acquaint yourself with the Lord. You follow his ways and do his commandments. You turn not to the left or the right, away from it. Stay right there with him. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. He'll bring it to you. Then he say, when you delight yourself in the Almighty and you lift up your face unto thy God, when you make your prayer unto him, he will hear you. Hallelujah. You know, so this is the way it works. This is the secret of success, is realign. Now, I use the word realign in case we fell off the track. Realign yourself with the Lord. Acquaint, you know, or I should say, reacquaint yourself with the Lord, you know, and you'll be at peace. You know, do his words, do his will, and so on and so forth. So shall good come unto you. You have good success. Plenty of silver, even, he said. Isn't that beautiful? Well, people think of success, actually, in terms of making money and this like that. Well, so, okay, here is the secret behind it. He will teach you how, exactly. Remember, it's the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. But that's not my subject today. Someday I will actually talk on that. You know, these hidden riches of secret places and the treasures of darkness. I'll talk about that someday. But today, let's just look at, you know, some limited successes and so on and so forth. Here, he says, when you do all these things, you have success. But let's look at, what about in the face of failure? And I put that failure in quotes. You know, bear in mind the way that I have redefined failure today. Now, in the case of so-called failure or loss, what should you do? Well, this same Job, he would bring something out in Job chapter 14. He said, from verses 7 to 9, powerful text. I love it. He said, look, I mean, there is hope of a tree, it says in that text, that though it be cut down, that's failure, that's a loss, you know. So if you're a farmer, you know, the harvest season, nothing happening, you know, the tree is withered away and so forth, you know, but there is hope, he said, of a tree when it's cut down. Something can happen again that can change all of that. And that's the way he said it. When it is cut down, it can sprout again. The tender branch can come back, you know, will not cease, means come back alive. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, the stalk thereof die in the ground. You think it's gone. Yet through the scent of water. See, now, the scent of water means you didn't give up. You went and watered that thing. Now, if you gave up and say, well, that thing is dead, well, then it's dead. You know, but if a little water comes the way, well, that might be a miracle. You know, God can revive that thing. And I've literally seen it happen in around my house, dead shrubs and so forth, that I sprinkled water on and say, well, this is your scent of water. And the thing come back alive, you know. So, but God can do that. And he can say, look, it will bring it back again. So when we are cut down, there is still hope. When things are bad, there is still hope. Well, how does the scripture put it for hope when things are bad? I mean, why should we expect that things will be any different now? That's what the devil will say. You've tried before, you failed. What makes you think you are going to be successful this time around? You will fail. You've always failed. You will always fail. This is what the devil would like to tell you. But you can make him eat those words. That's right. You know, this man, Isaiah, of whom we have spoken many times in this room, and I love the book of Isaiah. That's my go-to place when I'm looking for strength and encouragement. He says, look, I don't care what I face. Remember that verse I gave us many months ago. Isaiah 50:7. I know that the Lord will help me. Lord God will help me. You know, look, I may have suffered some setbacks, but God's going to help me. And I will not be confused. You know, I'm going to set my face like a flint. I'm going to put my game face on. I'm not going to let the devil discourage me because of setbacks. We will suffer many setbacks in life. Some more and some less than others. But we will suffer setbacks. But it may be, you know, if you have the proper approach, it may be a temporary setback. And you can come back and still be a winner. And this man said, look, I will set my face like a flint. Isaiah 50:7. You know, and I know that I will not be ashamed. You know, he knows it. He's not going to, you know, let the devil, you know, bamboozle him with, you're a loser. Well, the devil is the loser. Remind him, you know, that he's the loser. That's right. You know, he's the loser. You should always remind him about that. There are many scriptures, you know, that we gave you when we did the adversary versus your advocate. So the devil is a loser. Remind him of that. Now, when we have these setbacks in life, we can either get up and try again, or you can quit. One time in Luke chapter 5, you know, Peter had actually kind of given up. They packed in the nets. Nothing was going on that day, all night long. And Jesus comes in the boat. He said, Peter, what's happening? He said, well, you know, we've been here all night. We caught nothing. I said, well, do it again. You know, Jesus said, do it again. And Peter began to say, well, you know, do it again. We've been doing it all night. But then he remembered, that's the master talking now. Forget anything in your head. Once the master speak, you better latch on to that. And he said, wow, well, you know, nevertheless, you know, so you have those nevertheless moments where you failed at something, and I use the word failure loosely there. I mean, you did something, it didn't work. You tried it, could have even tried it multiple times, or even for a long time. And the voice of the master, through giving you strategy, might come and say, do it again. This time around, he'll tell you what to do, how to do it. Over on this side, cast your net on this side, and so forth. You know, wow. And the next thing you know, because he tried again, like the Lord said, do it again. And he did. And look at what happened after that. You know, this man, Micah, in Micah 7:8, I've quoted this multiple times, even through this series. He said, look, you can cheap shot me and knock me down, but I am not going to stay on the canvas. I'm going to get up. Praise the Lord. I am going to get up. And he said, look, you don't gloat over me just because you think I'm down. I'm not staying down. I'm getting up. And, you know, when someone is that determined to not stay down on the canvas, I've seen that happen a few times in some boxing matches. They might actually come back and still win, even though they got knocked down at an earlier round. It's happened before. But that's because they didn't stay down. If they threw in the towel, then it's over. See, once you quit, it's over. But if you don't quit, there is hope, you know, that something might come through for you. But, you know, let's see some more, you know, like I said, I'll just mingle this with success stories here and there and instructions. Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But what? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what shall be his reward for doing that? Well, he shall be like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. In other words, he will not have off season. And whatever he does shall prosper. This man is going to be a successful person because he knows how to stay with the word. He doesn't follow the ways of the world and trying to take shortcuts according to the world. No, but he's going to follow the ways of God, and he's going to end up with good success. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise the Lord. Well, let me read a few more Psalms here. I can see clearly today that I'm not going to make it through all the scriptures, but that's okay. I'm going to take my time through it because this is very, very key, because all of us are dealing with these things. Now, Psalm 34 and verse 18. This is a famous psalm that a lot of people like, you know, I bless the Lord at all times and so on. This is where it's at in the same psalm, but let's see what it says in verse 18. This is encouragement, you know, when people are down. Heartbrokenness sometimes come through severe losses and failures. You know, people just heartbroken. I mean, they put everything into it, and then they're lost. They will be heartbroken. Well, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Hallelujah. So he's right there. You may be heartbroken because of, you know, you put all your effort into this thing, and it blew up in your face, so to speak. And then it, like, look, it's over. Well, that particular thing may be over, but the Lord may help you to learn something to use for something else. But it's not over unless God says so. Not you. You're not the one that's going to say it's over. Unless you were the one that started it by yourself. I mean, yeah, if you're doing things on your own and you're not getting instruction from the Lord, well, yeah, you can make your own decisions, make your own, go up and down, however you want. But if you are trusting in the Lord, the Lord will tell you when it's over. And if it's not over, and if he hasn't said it's over, then it's not over. You know, so, you know, that's a closer walk with God, hearing from him. And even if he said it was over, you know, he will show you another way. And that's what it always does. When he told Elijah, go dwell by the brook Cherith, and I'll cause the ravens to come and feed you there, and so forth. And that went on for a while, but after a while, because there had been no rain, the thing dried up, the brook. And the Lord said, well, this brook is dried now, you know, so I'm going to show you what's next. Praise God. You know, so if the Lord says it's over, then he'll show you what's next. You know, so you got to lean on the Lord for that. Now, let's read a few more of the promises of God. What does the Lord say in Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24? Encouragement when things, you know, don't go what we might call our way, right? But here is encouragement, you know, that what the Lord says. You know, he said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and delighted in his way, you know. And here is the one, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Didn't Paul say things like that? You know, we are cast down, but we're not destroyed. You know, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord will uphold him with his hand. So uphold means, you know, pull him up. It's like Peter, when he was sinking, after doubting that he couldn't walk on water, and he began to sink, and he cried out, and the Lord stretched out his hand and upheld him, pulled him up. So here he says, well, the Lord will pull up the righteous when he falls. God will not leave him to be utterly forsaken. You know, and the psalmist, he gave his own testimony about that. Let's read it. Psalm 40, you know, verses 1 to 3. He said, look, I have been in situations that were really bad. You know, when you are in quicksand, they say if you struggle, you sink even more. You know, I mean, I haven't seen it in real life, but I've seen it on TV. And this man, he called it Mary Clay. It's like quicksand. He couldn't get out of it, but he trusted the Lord. And he also said, look, I'm always looking to the Lord and waiting for his response, how he will guide me. And so he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. This is Psalm 40, verse 1. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. So he was in the pit. That's like a failure. That's a loss. I mean, it might look like a dead end, but the Lord, he brought him out. He brought me out of the miry clay. That's like, you know, quicksand and everything. He set my feet on a rock and he established my goings. He put a new song. This is God changing your story. God has the power and the means by which he can change your story. He can bring you out of that miry clay. He can bring you out of that horrible situation. You know, that's a horrible, horrible pit, he said. But he brought me out. And on top of it, he put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. And many shall see it, and they shall praise the Lord. You know, I mean, it's a powerful testimony of recovery. Recovery from when you are down in the pit, and the Lord brings you up. Recovery from when you are in the quicksand, and the Lord pulls you out and give you a great song of joy. Praise the Lord. You know, hallelujah. Well, let's read a few more of David's testimonies. Psalm 73 and verse 26. Let me hurry along here and see how much of this I can cover today. Praise the Lord. All right. That's another thing he says here. In Psalm 73 and verse 26, he said, let me read it for context from. Okay, well, I'll just read it from verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth. You know, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, so there are times when we think we have failed. We're at our ends. I mean, wit's end, as they say it. Our flesh is weak. Our heart is weak. We are tired. You know, we've dealt with fatigue and all of that. You know, we're just tired. And, you know, you're giving up. When you give up in your heart, well, it's over. And when a man's heart fails, medically speaking, well, it's over. Or it could be. Unless there's quick recovery or restoration. You know, so the psalmist here said, look, everything failed. But God is the strength of my heart. And it's my portion forever. So when things fail, let's look to the Lord and see whether, you know, he will say this or that. We know he's able to change the story and show us which way to go. But we got to look to the Lord. Psalm 145 and verse 14. Psalm 145, verse 14. And Psalm 145 is another great, great psalm that you might enjoy it if you read the whole psalm. So try reading it. It's a great, great psalm. But I'm going to just read one verse here from verse 14 of Psalm 145. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Uphold again means pull them up by the hand. It's not just keep them from falling. No, they already fell. So uphold is not to keep you from falling. You already fell. But uphold means pull you up from your falling state. The Lord raiseth up all those that be bowed down. So God has a way to change failure and losses, you know, change that story and bring things around, you know. So these are some of the scriptures that you can use to encourage yourself. You know, Lord says, look, I will uphold you. Isaiah 41 verse 10, I will uphold you. I will strengthen you with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, said, fear not, I will uphold you. You know, so he was able to keep you from falling, but if you fall, he will uphold you too, which means pull you up. Hallelujah. So either way, he's got you. And there's nothing to be afraid of. Proverbs 24 verse 16 will tell you that, look, if you're a man or woman that's walking with the Lord, there is always hope. Just like Micah said that, look, no matter what happens to you, devil may knock you down, but you're going to rise again. Even seven times, he says here. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. Well, the reason he rises up again is because the Lord upheld him. And also because he didn't quit. Once you quit, there's no getting up. So we must not quit. You know, there may be setback. It's been said that, you know, a setback may be God setting you up for a greater comeback. You know, so he may be setting you up, and you know, God can do something marvelous. He can take a tree that is dead or dying or waxing old in the earth, and he can turn that thing around, as we read in Job. He can do all these things. Now, the Lord wants us to have good successes. He doesn't want us to go through life, you know, with failures and just losing out. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13, he tells us, look, for a man, you know, to do good and enjoy the good of all his labor and so forth, you know, I mean, God wants us to be successful. And he wants us to do well. And he wants us to enjoy, you know, it is the gift of God to do that. So, in all of your labor, acknowledge him. That's what the Bible says. You know, he said, look, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge him when you are up. Acknowledge him when you are down. You know, when the going is good, acknowledge him. When the going is not so good, acknowledge him as well. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths. When you're down, acknowledge him as well. You know, remember, the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When you're in the valley now, you was on top of the mountain one time, and now in the valley. Same God that was with you on the mountain, he's right here in the valley. And he's able to bring you out of that valley again. Praise the Lord. You know, so never fold in and fold up and say it's over. It's never over. You know, the Lord said, look, Isaiah 45 verse 2. When things are not going well, God can step in and change your story. That's what Isaiah 45 says. I will go before you and make straight the crooked places. Hallelujah. You know, so God can do that. Sometimes there's crookedness in our way. You're trying to do something instead of, I mean, mathematics or geometry will tell you, you know, the definition of a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. You are in point A to point B. You want to get from here to here. It's a straight line. You know, anything that you draw that's not straight, that distance from point A to point B is not the shortest. So when things are crooked, when you're going through crooked paths, that's not the shortest. You know, God can take you straight as the arrow flies. But sometimes the devil will come in there and, you know, foul things up. That's what he does. But here's God's promise for us. I will go before them, make the crooked places straight. You know, that's right. Things, instead of going in a meandering situation, I'll make you go straight. And you get to it quicker if you go straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. And I will cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give you treasures of darkness. Oh my goodness. And hidden riches of secret places. That you may know that I, the Lord, will call you by your name. I am the Lord God of Israel. Well, you know, he can do that too. When things are crooked, when we think we've suffered losses, you know, he can turn things around for you. And he can do that very quickly too. Praise the Lord. Now, why is he able to do it? We need to have confidence in his word. Here's what the Lord promised us in Isaiah 55, verses 12 and 13. He promised you successes rather than failures. So let's read a promise of success here. Isaiah 55. You know, verses 12 and 13. For ye shall go out with joy. Now that's celebration. And be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. How many of you would like to see that? You know, I mean, see things, you know, really rejoicing, jumping up for joy all around you. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That's God lining up people to celebrate your success. Celebrate the God's goodness in your life. It's going to happen for you. Amen. Praise God. I've been believing for the people of God and the people in my circle of influence for the last couple of years. And the Lord's been saying you're going to emerge. You're going to have a quantum leap. And I'm believing God and I'm declaring it. Look, this is that year. Maybe that year, and it is for some, that the celebration, sir. The Lord said, look, you go out with joy, led forth with peace, mountains and hills, break forth before you into singing. God will line up the trees of the field to clap their hands, celebrate you. Instead of the thorn, you know, instead of, you know, things that have been pinching you and hurting you, it's going to come pleasantness. Hallelujah. Instead of the briar that come out of the myrtle tree, you know, and it shall be to the Lord for a name. It's because of his name, reputation. He has to protect because his name is upon you. And give you the goodness of the Lord that shall not be cut off. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord is able to do these things. He promised us celebration. He promised you joy of, and gladness, the voice of merriment and joy and so forth. You know, shall not cease from your house in the name of Jesus. You know, but you got to have mentality of a winner. The Lord said, look, when you fall, shall you not arise again? Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 4. When they fall, shall they not arise again? Huh? Because the Lord is able to take you and build you up again. You know, and when you turn away, shall you not even return? But don't turn away. Don't turn away from the Lord. And when you fall, don't stay down. The devil says, stay down. Holy Spirit in your corner says, get up. That's right. Get up. And he'll tell you, get up. The devil, on the other hand, is gloating, said, stay down for the count. And the referee is counting. One, two. And he says, stay down. And in your corner, they're saying, get up. And over in the other corner, they say, throw down the towel already. You know, that's what the devil would like. But I guarantee you, you know, you can bestir yourself, come out of that thing. God will give you the victory. And then, you know, look, Paul's testimony, you've heard it many times. He said, look, there were many times I've been knocked down, kicked down, bullied, done all these things, beaten 39 stripes and all these things. So many things happened to me and so forth, shipwreck and all. But in all these things, he said, I'm more than a conqueror. You know, I'm not going to let the devil, you know, have a field day and thinking he's got one over me. Never going to give the devil that satisfaction. I remember, you know, some years ago as a young man, I started to make that statement. Don't give the devil the satisfaction of thinking he got one over you. Don't even give it to him. Praise the Lord. You know, be bold and courageous in your faith. Hallelujah. You know, so Paul had all these testimonies, you know, of things. And we'll get to some of his testimonies, but I'm going to, you know, try to bring this to an end. I'll continue tomorrow by the grace of God. But listen to this. You know, the voice of celebration and the voice of joy. Now, not the voice of sorrow and the regret and lamentation. Well, that may be there. The psalmist said it. Psalm 30 and verse 5. He said, look, sorrow may endure for a night because of your losses, but joy is coming in the morning. And the way I see that, the way I interpret that is, look, the night cannot last forever. As long as it's night, you may be sorrowful. It says sorrow may endure for a night. Well, that night may endure, long, long, long. But at some point, the night must break. I mean, the day must break. You know, there is no night that can last forever. Even in the long winter months, some states have very, very dark winter months. No matter what, at some point, day is going to break. Hallelujah. So when we think of the losses and you think of the sorrow, well, think of joy that's coming in the morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So God is able to bring that to us. And Lamentation 3:22 will tell you the steadfast love of God never ceases. Why? They are new every morning. Glory to God. His compassions fail not. You know, they are new to us every morning. Lamentation 3:22 and 23. 'Tis of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. The devil will want to consume us when he knocks us down. But the Lord's mercies will pull us up every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Are you going to hope for the Lord for a new day today? No matter what yesterday was, you know that today the Lord can bring you success and can put you on the path to recovery as well. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to leave it here for today. I've got more to say, but we'll say the rest of it tomorrow by the grace of God. But let me tell you this story. I think I've told it on Clubhouse here a couple of times. You know, so the when you give up, when something bad happens, well, you may lose. But if you do not give up, you may still come back and win. You know, this story, I have told it. I told it at the church. I've told it here a few times. But it goes with this. So I'll just tell it quickly again. You know, there was a, and you know, I love, you know, track and field. You know, I grew up in track and field and so forth. And, you know, so there was an Olympics in which the USA women's relay 4x110 quartet, you know, would eventually come and win that race. But somewhere along the ways, in the heats or the qualifying rounds, they dropped the baton. And Alison Felix was a veteran. It was actually from her exchange, you know, from the second leg to the third leg where they dropped the baton. But there was something that the veteran did, because she was running with some rookies, but she had the experience. They dropped the baton. And if you drop the baton in a relay race, and in that kind of short relay race, there's no hope. Because those relay races, I mean, the split, even for women, it can be just something like 10 or 11 seconds, you know, in their split. For men, even shorter, 8 seconds, 9 seconds. So if you drop the baton, there's just no way that you can recover. And so just a split second loss, I mean, or delay, cause you to lose the race. It's not just speed. It's also precision in how you hand over the baton. You know, and I used to run, you know, that race in particular. Anchor leg, I did. And anyway, she told her teammate, pick up the baton and finish the race. I love that story. You know, I can't get enough of it. Pick up the baton and finish the race. And, cause that one looked at her like it was over. I said, finish it anyway. So she picked up the baton and she just trotted down. Hey, the race was already over. Handed it over to the last leg. They trotted down and so forth. In her mind, Alison knew that they had to, well, the rules were, you know, if you're going to, you know, file a complaint, she was actually, she knew she was bumped. It actually turned out that she was bumped. The team to her right bumped her and caused her to lose the baton. But when the race is going in real time, nobody can see that, you know, because it happened so quickly in just a matter of seconds. And then when they picked up the baton, but in order for you to get a chance, you know, you got to ask for review. You got to, you know, file a motion. You got to do all these things, but you've got to finish the race to even get a chance to do that. So she knew that. She told the rookies, and they somehow, reluctantly, they did finish the race. And then they went and filed. And the judges went and reviewed the video. And they found that she was actually right. She was actually bumped by somebody that was on the other side. And so it wasn't her fault. But they lost the race. And unfortunately, they can't cancel the race. The race is already done. So they were reinstated, you know, and everybody was so grieved then, because, you know, money was on them that they were going to win that year. But when they lost that, if they would have given up at that time, that would have been the end of it. But this woman, she's a believer too, Alison Felix is. You know, so there might have been something in her that said, look, I'm not staying down for the count. You know, and so they did that. Thank God they listened to her and they did that. And then so they were able to, you know, file the motion, you know, and they looked and an appeal and all that stuff. So they reinstated them and said, well, yeah, you know, you were bumped. It was not any fault of yours. We're going to let you try again. But they can't bring all the teams back in again. They already ran theirs. So they say, well, you're going to run solo. But if your time is better than any of the other ones, then you may get in. People are already qualified by time and qualified by position, time and all that. So they went and ran again just by themselves. Same lane that they were in before, run it again or by yourself, no other thing. That's a hard thing to do because in a relay race, you're running, I mean, in these sprints, you're running against the person, you know, next to you. You run your race, but you're also running against the person next to you. So, they did, and they qualified on time, and they were so determined, and Alison kept telling her teammates, we can do this. And they were so determined, and they qualified on time. Well, at that time, there was only lane zero left. So they put them in lane zero, and for the finals. And that's the hardest lane because it has the sharpest turn. But to cut a long story short, they won that race in the final. I mean, this is a story that I cannot get, I can't get over it. And at the end of the day, despite all those losses, despite all these setbacks, they came back for a great, I mean, with a great comeback. And they won that. They won, I mean, in lane zero, they won that race. I mean, imagine what they would have done if they were in lane five, you know, which is best of the lanes, kind of. But why did it happen that way? Well, because somebody said, pick up the baton and finish the race. You know, don't quit now on me. Praise God. Well, let me leave it there for today. We'll pick up the rest of it tomorrow. So our lesson has been on failures and losses. And God gives us encouragement for successes and celebrations. I'm going to talk more about celebrations tomorrow and what God will have for us. And I'm going to talk some more about how God will change your story. But you got to walk with the Lord. You know, you can't quit on him now. God never quit on anybody. So you must not quit on yourself. You must quit on the Lord either. Don't do it. He's got a plan. He's cooking something, as I like to say. He's always cooking something. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, that's our lesson for today. Let me leave it here. I have several more scriptures, but I can't do it all in one day. I'm going to leave it here. And we're going to come back tomorrow. Now, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of Glory. God doesn't like our heads to be down. God doesn't like the hands to be hanging down either. Strengthen those hands that hang down. Lift up those heads that are hanging down. You know, confirm the feeble knees and so forth. And God will change the story, turn the failures, the losses to success and celebrations. You know, but we've got to have that proper mindset. With, you know, the mindset of a non-quitter. You know, non-quitter. Praise the Lord. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid this foundation, saith the Lord. His hands will also finish it. Huh, glory to God. So don't be a quitter now. When you start it, you finish it. And even though it looks like there is nothing going on, now everything is cut down through the scent of water. It'll come back again. Now this message today and this lesson, by the time we finish it tomorrow, by the grace of God, it will be your scent of water. Hallelujah. You know, to every tree that may be currently cut down or dying, the scent of water is coming. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the message and the exhortation today. I give you the praise and I give you the glory. And I pray over everyone that's in the room. Let our ears indeed be open to these things that the Spirit is saying, that our eyes may see the glory of the Lord. Help cause our heart to understand as well. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you glory and praise. We know that you got a plan to be there to lift us up. Say, I will uphold you when you fall. Say, the Lord will uphold. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Give us that mentality to not be a quitter and to not give up. Never to give in or fold in, but to always believe in the Lord's salvation. Thank you, Lord. Give you all glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.